Blog Talk Radio.
For so long I was silent. For so long I did not have a song to pray. Depression filled my day, and clouds blocked my way. But there was a voice speaking to me, awaking the passion so quiet in me, in me. So still in me. Lay here and give up, no. I choose to worship right now. My mind is made up. Is that your voice calling me into that secret place with thee? My heart is long for this moment with thee.
I choose to worship.
Do I have anybody in here tonight that chooses to worship? I know sometimes it gets bad. I just can't lay here and give up. I choose to worship. In the air and just say it with me. Come on. I choose to worship you, Lord. I choose to worship right here in the midst of everything that I'm going through, God. Tears running down my face. Don't know where to go. Don't know, have nobody to talk to. But I've made up my mind. I'm going to worship you in spirit and in truth. I bless your name. I glorify you right now. I'm desperate for your presence, God. I'm coming after you. I'm a living witness. He'll heal you. Yes, he will.
He's healing me. I'm gonna worship.
Come on, I need everybody in here to help me do it right now. Come on. He's healing me.
He's healing me. I'm gonna worship.
Come on, I need you to lift yourself up out of that mess that you're in right now. Come on. Some of you have been down so long. Come on, make up your mind right now.
I'm gonna
I can't
worship.
Lay here and die. I gotta seek after him. I hear his voice calling me right now.
He's healing
me. I'm coming to you broken tonight. I'm coming to you wounded tonight. I'm coming to you right now. I need your presence in my life.
I'm
going to
worship.
I'm going to worship. Yes, I am. He's healing me.
Heal me. I'm going to worship.
Oh, he's healing.
I'm gonna worship.
I'm gonna worship you.
I'm gonna worship.
Come on, I need some worshipers in here tonight. Come on. Come on, it's got a made up mind. Come on, to bless the Lord at all times. In the midst of every test, every trial, I've made up my mind that I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm gonna worship.
I'm gonna
Come on, lift up those hands and bless his name.
My heart has longed for this moment with thee. I choose to worship.
Say that again. I have been touched. Put your hand on your neighbor. Say, you have been touched. Put your hand on them. Say, you have been touched. Changed. Healed. Say this. Totally free from sin. Say that again. Totally free from. I have been touched, changed, healed. Totally free from sin. Every shackle broke. Now I can.
In your love, there is freedom.
because of you. I've been restored. I've been renewed. I've come alive because of you. I'm trying to get you to confess it. Come on. I've been restored.
Praise God. We made it through another week, and we're here again to give God the honor, the glory, and the praise. This is one night that He has made, so it's a different day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. I just thank God for another night, a wonderful Thursday, that He kept us throughout this day. No hurt, harm, or danger come to us. As of now, we haven't heard any bad news or anything like that in regards to any loved ones, anything of that nature. So I just give God the honor and the glory and the praise. I lift up those who are in bereavement at this time. My wife on Tuesday had got a text that one of her loved ones passed, but we lift up that family on that end. We just continue to just give God the honor and the glory and the praise for who He is and all that He has done in our lives. We give God the honor for special people at home. The Store family is not the Store, just the Store and this lovely family, and this Tammy Store, who are the visionaries of this ministry for the Blog Talk. It's a mega ministry group, and I thank them for allowing us to have a time, which is a blessing for now. This world ministry beginning here, and we shall share the gospel of God as He gives it to us every Thursday night, as He gives it to us, and we give it to each other. And we just begin to thank God as we're growing together. We're going and we're growing. This is a beautiful night, man. We decrease, God, You increase, have Your way tonight, Father. We thank You for the teaching and the edification, God. You said that we build up the body, God, and we're building each other up. Thank you for everyone that's on this line that has been sharing since we started, and it's been a blessing. It's been a journey, and it's been a journey worthwhile taking, and we have been growing, and I thank God even for those that had those seven things that God had told them to put down last week. The week before last, I'm sure everyone should, someone should have been able to say, hey, I checked off a few things because I put it before God and I began to trust God. See, we got to get to a place where we're trusting God and we're truly believing He can do what He said He can do. And some of this we're going to talk about tonight. So I just learned how to trust God, how to stand on His word, and how to believe that if God said it, I believe it. And by my faith, I say I receive it. I'm standing on the promises of God tonight. I got some things that I need God to do in my life. I got some things I need God to do for me spiritually, physically, financially, business-wise, mentally. And I believe Him to do it. I believe God would do it. I believe God would strengthen us in every aspect and would take us to another level. I'm just so foolish enough to take Him at His word. He said, come in like a little child, unless you accept to be one of these. And then some other little child, I look at how my son used to be when he was younger when I promise to do something for him. Well, my daughter, even to this day, if I say I'm going to do something, she's foolish enough to believe that I'm going to do it. And so if God said it, I'm going to be foolish enough to believe He'll do it. I shall in love, my people. Brothers and sisters, I pray for you, and I thank God for you tonight. And I thank God for your strength. I thank God for all that He's done in your life, and yet He's going to do in your life. So this worship has been none other than my queen, Evangelist Maria Flank, giving us words of inspiration. God bless.
Amen, amen. God bless you. Thankful for another Thursday. Just so thankful for God being who He is in our lives. And I just thank God for just being able to be back on Blog Talk again on this Thursday and looking forward to the word that God has that He's going to bring through His Son. And God is saying tonight, try to see things more and more from my perspective. Let the light of my presence so fully fill your mind that you view the world through me. When little things don't go as you have hoped, look to me lightheartedly and say, oh, well. This simple discipline can protect you from being burdened from accumulation of petty cares and frustrations. If you practice this diligently, you will make a life-changing discovery. You realize that most of the things that worry you are not important. If you shrug them off immediately and return your focus to me, you will walk through your days with lighter steps and a joyful heart. When serious problems come your way, you will have more reserves for dealing with them. You will not have squandered your energy on petty problems. You may even reach the point where you can agree with the Apostle Paul that all your troubles are light and momentarily compare with the eternal glory being achieved by them. We have three scriptures on tonight. First one, Psalms 36:9. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Proverbs 20:24, a man's step directed by the Lord, how then can anyone understand his own way? And 2 Corinthians 4:17-18, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of the word. God bless you, and get ready for a powerful word. He's excited. He's been excited about this word, so we know it's going to be something awesome. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God, praise God. We thank God for that. Those wonderful words of inspiration. We just feeling to bless his name tonight because he is great and he's great. Let him be praised. As we decrease, Father, and you increase, let your Holy Spirit take over, God. We give this night, we dedicate this service, we dedicate this time of worship, this place of worship to you, God. We dedicate ourselves, Father, to you, Father. We decrease totally, God, and say, yeah, Father, you increase. You let your will be done, your plan, and your purpose go forth, God, tonight. And we give you honor, God. We give you glory. We give you praise. In your Son, Jesus Christ, most holy and righteous name we pray. So it is.
And we're going to go real simple now. Those of you that have your Bibles, we're going to the very beginning. Genesis, the first chapter. And then we're going to move a little bit. We're going to jump around a little bit, but we're going to start in the beginning. I think that's what we need to do, to know who God is and where we are. Because at the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And I said, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I look at my life in the beginning without Christ. And I said, George, your life was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of your life. Your life was you walked in darkness. You were never amongst the land of the living. You was amongst the land of the existing, because that's how your day was. Day to day you existed, but you didn't experience living until you came into Christ. So we look at God, and then God said, let that be light, and that was light. So God, you know, God began to let you come to a place where you come to a point of surrender. And when you come to a place of surrender, you come to a place where your heart has been changed. And as your heart has been changed, then light comes into your life. And God said, let that be light. And God spoke it. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. So you can look at God saying, okay, I'm calling you out. I'm sanctifying you. I'm separating you. And now that I'm bringing you out, I'm separating the light from the darkness. And if you look around, you may see people that's in your world on a daily basis, and you see them walking around in darkness. And people say, man, or people that recognize you, have your life has been changed, they're like, man, there's something different about you. There's a glow about you. You don't look like what you've been through. You don't look like where you came from. You don't. There's no smoke on you, and I know you've been in the fire. Your clothes don't look dressed, and I know you've been on the water almost drowned. But you don't look like it. There's a glow about you. Because God separated the light from the darkness.
And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and morning was the first day. So now God said, you're children of the day. You become a child of the day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Now, I said to my wife, I was like, man, you know, our body is over 70% composed of water. So God began to separate stuff that's inside of us. Let me separate some of this confusion from your life. Let me separate you from depression. Let me separate you from oppression. Let me separate you from infirmity. Let me remove these things from you, from your life, from what's going on in your life. And God began to divide the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. So I'm looking at God, what are you doing? It's waters above heaven and it's waters under heaven. And God said, I'm going to separate. I'm gonna put a firmament. He said, and the firmament he called heaven. God said, I'm gonna put something here that's going to separate you from this turmoil and that turmoil, and I'm going to give you a place of peace. And that's what God is. That's what God is right now. The waters under the heavens be gathered together in the one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. I look at my life, and I look at different things. I even look at when we talk about God healing me. God, you ain't healing me like I thought you was. Or God, you didn't bless me like I thought you was. And we look at these things, and we begin to reason with ourselves about faith and our lack of faith because we don't see it. We didn't see it move the way we expected it to move. They didn't see Jesus as the Messiah. He didn't come the way they expected him to come. And so these are the things that we deal with in our fragmented mindsets. Even the way we view ourselves. You know, I always say, man, if I can see myself the way God sees me. You know, we look at people that we come in this world with no self-concept, self-worth, self-value, none of that, no self-esteem. And then you wonder, you know, why is that? But we don't know who we are. We don't know who we are. We don't know whose we are. We suffer from what I call an identity crisis. And, you know, most of us look for identity in our fathers. And so especially as a man, and some women looking at identity in their mothers. But if you can't identify with those things, then you suffer from an identity crisis. And that's what we've been having problems with. But at this point now, we're at the point where we try to identify with our father. And then we can't receive God as our father because sometimes we equate our earthly father with something negative. So it's hard to go down. So I'm at this point where what God has been dealing with me tonight on my fragmented mind and how I see him. And sometimes we see God and we say, okay, at one point God said, I don't wish nobody should perish, but I also come into the knowledge of truth and receive everlasting life. And then in Revelation, you may see God say, well, if you get a lot of cold, I'm going to spit you out my mouth, or you hell bound. So then we look at, man, is God confused? Or, you know what I mean? Or do we prove that it was right? Because I had a cousin that my grandmother died. I went to evangelize and I witnessed to him. Because I led him astray, because I was astray. I had him hustling, I had him smoking weed, I let him drink with me, and that's the things I was doing. I'm 19, 20, 21, he might have been 14, 15, 16 when I first started leading him astray. I'm about 23, 24 now. He's 17, 18, and he was like, man, he's like, gee, if God was real, why he let me beat mama suffer the way she suffered? You know, we have those questions all the time. Why? You know, in my quest for knowledge, I'm searching for answers. My baby's born with AIDS. My people dying with cancer. We ask these questions. You know, we ask these questions. Now, why? Why so many people suffer from breast cancer and prostate cancer if God is so real? Why do these children come into the world hooked on crack or being aborted? Or if God is so real, we ask these questions. God, where you was at then, God? Where you was at when mama was threatening with me but she was smoking crack? Or where you was at then, God, when the man came in the room and molested my little girl? Where was you at then? You know, we ask these questions to God. Not understanding God as the creator, not understanding God as the sovereign God, not understanding God as that as our Savior. But we ask God that, God, what was you at when I was heartbroken? What was you at, God, when everything went crazy in my life? What was you at, God, when my daddy abandoned me or my mom abandoned me? What was you at then, God? Sometimes you ask, like my wife lost her mother in the car accident. She could even say, God, you know, she was angry with God for a long time. a long time. It was crazy because the night before we did the Bible study, and the message was the strength, not my own. And it was like, when did you have to rely on the strength that was not your own? And one time, the example she gave, this was on the Thursday night, the example she gave was her mother. She, you know, she had to rely on her mother for some strength, going through some stuff. Maybe going through a surgery or whatever it was. But anyway, long story short, the next day, God called her mother home. She was angry. So whoever was like, okay, God, where you was at then? Why you wanted to call her? Where you was at? These are the questions we can ask God all the time. You know what I mean? And I'm reminded of a fellow named Job. He began to question God like that. So we go through these things, and we begin to say, God, and these why, this is why the science, and these are the arguments. If he's such a God of peace, but see, what one thing that God did, and I'm standing with you tonight, and I hope you guys get it, but God did, it had to be about 6 months ago. He got it before, but he was like, George, you're at a point now where I can show you all of me, you know, and now when I show you all of me, you won't judge me in your eyes. So I let you know that I'm God, the Savior. I'm God, the Provider. But I'm also God, the Destroyer. I'm God, the Keeper. See, my life, I didn't want to get saved when I was younger. You know, I was a PK. You know, at one point I was saved. I was a church boy. But when I was in the world, like my granddaddy, when he got his life right with God, God took him home. My brother Al, when he got his life right with God, God took him home. And I guess I was too, you know, a lot of people say, you know, you're too heavenly, you know, I mean, too spiritual, you know, earthly good. Well, I know that ain't been my case. You know, I was, you know, I like this place. I don't want to leave. I want somebody to get saved, or somebody to say, God, don't take me home. But now I'm understanding God even the more so. So let's look at Job 38 chapter, if you don't mind. So we all had these questions. God, what were you doing? God, why you ain't do this? God, why you didn't do that? God, why you ain't moving? You know, sister needs you, brother needs you. You know, when my dad was on crack, where you was at then? Mom, you know, what was you at then, God, when this slavery stuff took place? Where was you at then, God, when we're dealing with civil rights stuff? Well, you know, we're asking God, man, these different things. God, how you let this happen? I had God all the time. I'm like, man, how you let these people get so far in control? And so God said, this is what we're at right now. Job 38, he said, no, the Lord answered Job. Out of the world, man, it said, great is the doctrine of counsel by words without knowledge. Gird up not thy loins like a man, for I would demand of thee, and answer thou me. That we told you, man, gird up your loins like a man. Pull your britches up. And because I'm going to demand of you. You got any questions? You want to ask me all these questions? And answer me then when I'm getting done talking. I want you to answer. Look what God said. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare how thou hast understanding. Who have laid the measure thereof as thou knowest? Or who have stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, who shall receive with doors when they break forth as if it had issued out of the womb? I told you with this mind, the waters came, he separated the darkness from light. Look at that. Look at Genesis first, and then look at how God began to talk. Genesis 1, the first chapter, and then see how God talking. When I made the cloud, the garment thereof, and thick darkness and swaddling band for it, and break up forth my decree place, and set bars and doors, and say, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall thou proud ways be stayed. You know what I mean? We're asking certain questions. Can I control the waves of the wind? Can I control the storm? Can I say, hey, we just got family members that just dealt with hurricanes in the Carolinas. Can I just say, hurricane, you can't go this far, but you put up, but God can, and God did. He said, and break up for my decree place and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. Answer thy proud ways be stayed. Has thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned its clay to the seal, and it stand as a garment, and from the wicked thy light is withholding. And thy arm shall be broken. Have thou entered into the springs of the sea, or has thou walked in the circle of the depths? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or has thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? He began to go on and on, man. We can just continue to go how God began to just break this thing down to Job. But we look at the 40th chapter. Watch what Job said. And this is what I'm saying tonight. And we'll continue to move forward. But he said, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth of God, let him answer it. And Job said, answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. So he said, listen, God. He said, God, I have spoken, but I will not answer them. He said, man, I lay my hand upon my mouth. He said, I'm setting up now. And that's what we're talking about tonight. I'm going to set up, Lord. I'm setting up now, Lord. You go ahead and talk. You go ahead and show me what you want done, how you want to do it, how you want to heal me, God, how you want to deliver me, God, how you want to set me free, God, how you want to move, God, and you do it, Father. You show me, you give me instruction, let me be still. I don't want to question your way of doing it. I don't want to question your methods anymore because, God, you're awesome, you're magnificent, you're wonderful, and you're powerful, God, and you can do it. God, when my son was school, we I said a three-day fast. He got solid when we first started them 3 days. It got to a point where I started looking at myself sideways and asking like questions. Did I hear from God? What is going on here? By the third day, man, after that, God began, after the third day, the one, two, three, we ain't heard nothing. We might have heard some stuff, but it wasn't what we wanted to hear. That next day, after the third day, God began to break forth. He began to break forth, and that was options, that was choices, that were things to decide upon it. And then God began, even after that, after the choices, when we start breaking down on those, God began to open up one, he opened up other doors. And so God is so awesome, man. And you look at it to come one way, and he already come this way. And then sometimes we get so anxious because we're in our own mindset. Again, I told you our mind is fragmented, but God is not. See, God is... He is not fractured. Well, we are. I was talking about emotional women. And I say how they're fragile and they break, but it takes a man of God to accept those presents, those pieces, mold them together and put them in God's presence until they are completely molded together. You know, when I look at us and I look at myself as being a fractured individual, when I look at the brokenness, and sometimes he takes those broken vessels and put them together and put them in his presence. Sometimes it takes that brokenness. It takes that being fractured, it takes that destruction, the destroy. It takes a faith that he come to kill, steal, and destroy. But sometimes we just thank Satan for being God's employee, because when Satan, you know, what God meant, what Satan meant for bad, God turned it around for good. How many times can you be honest with yourself and say, man, I went through some stuff. I didn't know why I went through it, but it made me better. I don't know why it was so hard. Why did I have to go through this? Why did I have to go to jail? Why did I have to go and sell drugs? Why did I have to go and leave school? Why did I have to go through the things I went through to get to where I am? But sometimes we got to go through to get to bring somebody else through. But in the midst thereof going through and that perseverance and resilience, God began to build us up. So in the midst of my going through, even now we're going through, you know, we went through some things and we lost a lot financially. Even with that school situation, those that know me closely know what I'm talking about. And my wife was saying, I was in the elevator the other day, we was celebrating our anniversary, we still standing. You know, we and then we standing stronger than ever now. But we're like, we still standing. I mean, though, we went out to our knees. I mean, and it was almost enough to put people in a depressive state. And it was in the point where my mind wasn't settled, wasn't stable. I didn't make precise decisions at that point. I wasn't making stable decisions. My mind wasn't stable. I was fractured. And see, when you fracture, you look at God through a fractured lens. But we got to realize God is not fractured. That's our lens that we're looking at and we're seeing him through. See, that's why Eve was able to be deceived by the serpent, because she didn't know God as a total God, as a savior, as a sovereign God. That when Satan was like, he just knows you're going to be like him and like that. So she wanted to make God on her level, not knowing that she was made in his image and after his likeness, after his worth, after his concept, after his value. We got to know who we are and whose we are. Stop looking at ourselves through our fractured lens and start seeing ourselves through God's lens. If I can see myself the way God sees me, so Moses said, once have I, I mean, Job said, once have I spoken, but I will not answer. gate twice without proceeding no further. And God began to speak to him again. Then I said, Lord, it's a joke out of the whirlwind, and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. I told him again, gird your loins up again. I would demand of thee to flee out thou unto me. Would thou also just annul my judgment? Would thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Has thou an arm like God? Or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Dick thyself not with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast about the rage of thy wrath, and behold everyone that is proud and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud and bring them low and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together and bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. Do you think your right hand can save you? I said, my wife, I said, I gotta make my salvation sure. You know what I mean? He said, you know, through shaking and trembling, you know what I mean? Make your call and make your salvation sure through trembling. And so that's what I was saying. My wife, she said, what you mean? I said, I gotta make sure that I'm on the cover and got everything in me that's not like him. It's gotta be clear because I can't save myself. I can't make myself tall. I can't make myself be gray hairs. I mean, I paint them, but I can't do nothing about that stuff, man. And so this is what we are. To know who we are. Even when it comes to salvation and who God chooses to give salvation to. Like, we can't judge people. And that's something I had a bad habit of doing. I had a bit of judging and looking at folks, turning my face up, you know, and in a self-righteous type mode. And I ain't nobody. I know what God's on you. And who are you? You know, there's a story about a man that was, he died and he went to heaven. And he saw some people that, you know, God was like, be quiet. Because he kept wanting to ask God questions about the people that he saw. You know, he saw some people that were shady people that were, didn't live their life in a righteous manner. But they was in heaven, they was at God's bosom. And he was like, God, how is little Jimmy here? Or how is Katie here? Or how is Joseph over here? And God was like, shh. You know what I mean? He kept telling me, shh. But he kept asking God on and on, God, this kid used to be a bully back then. How did he get here? Or, this young lady, she was a prostitute. God, how did she get here? And this young man here, God, I'm a mediated murderer. How did he get here? And God said, look here, son, they ask the same question about you right now. So that's the thing we got to look at. So I'm setting up now. I'm setting up now, Lord, and I'm trusting you. I'm going to yield myself to you, even when you evangelize in peace. Sometimes you go to evangelize and you go to witness to people about the goodness of God and his mercy and his grace, and then you want to figure out who I want to pray for, who I don't want to pray for, who's worthy of God's gospel, who's worthy of the gospel, who's worthy to receive the goodness of the Lord. Now, who are we to decide that? That's why I said don't be taking up the leaving of the Pharisees, because we have become the Pharisees. We wonder where the judgment come and inside the church, and why we won't come to church, because the church is where all the inside come from. That's where the assaults come from. All the assaults come from the church more so than it does the world. Because we are looking through our own fractured lens. And it's easy to see somebody else wrong than to view our own. It's easy to say, man, well, you know, to be self-righteous. I wrote a song called that, about self-righteous. And it's easy to say the same thing, you know, that I might sell drugs, God, but at least I ain't the one doing them. Or I might cuss or drink a little bit, God, but at least I ain't out here on these corners. Or I ain't robbing banks. Or I ain't a prostitute, even though I might do a little pimping. You know, I mean, just these things that we figure out. One way to move, well, I might smoke some weed, God, but I ain't smoking no crack. Or I ain't shooting up no heroin. You know, we figure out what make it better. You know what I'm saying? I might be fornicating, you know, but I ain't committing adultery. Come on, man. These are the things that we're dealing with as a self-righteous person. Instead of saying, God, I'm broken. She's broken. He's broken. What is inside of me that you got in me that I can help them? And what inside of them that they can help me? And how can we help each other get closer to you? To be what you have ordained us to be from the beginning. To have dominion. Like you told us to do in the beginning. You said, have dominion. Shh. See, I'm in a place now that of brokenness, like and it's sad to say that. I'm saying if I don't feel the Holy Ghost, I'm good. But you got loved ones. And I'm sure one time I watched you say, I'm saved and love for the Holy Ghost, but you got loved ones that are knocking on hell's door. Not heaven's door, knocking on hell's door. That you don't even talk to them. You only share the goodness of the Lord with them. But I'm good. To find out tonight, I know my destination. But what about your brother? What about your sister? What about your cousin, your auntie, your uncles? What about the next door neighbor? What about the homeless person you just passed on the street a few minutes ago? What's his destination? What's her destination? But I'm good. I got mine, get yours. But we say we got the heart of God. We got the heart of Christ. And then I'm just looking at different things. And watch this. It's September. Three more months. Some of you understand my voice. I'm excited about December 25th. And you're going to go in there. Trying to buy some gifts for your children and grandchildren. But you got people around you every day just need a meal. Just need some shoes or some clothes. Say, can you help me? No, I can't do that right now because I got to do this. I'm setting up now. I'm not going to keep going on and on because I know I'm going to step on my own toes, so it's okay. How about evangelizing? Well, you know, what the power of the evangelism. You know, telling people, man, listen, I was lost just like you were lost. I was confused just like you confused. And I saw myself through my own lens, just like you see yourself through your own lens. And I can see myself through my own fractured lens. I can see you through my own fractured lens. But praise God that he's not fractured. Because the thing about God being, about our lens being fractured until we get delivered, until we get set free, we see God through a fractured view. We view God with our own fractured lens. We put God in the box every day that he needs to show this way and not that way. When God said, I'm sovereign, I can do whatever I want to do, when I want to, how I want to, because I'm God. I don't need your direction. I don't need your instructions. I don't need you to tell me what I can do and what I cannot do. Look at God. He said, man, watch it. He said, behold now the behemoth which I made with thee. He eat of grass as an ox, though not instructed in his loins and his forces in the navel of his belly. He moved his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are like strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him, so that the mountains bring him forth food where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees in the covert of the reed and fins. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up the river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. With his eyes, his nose pierced up through snares. All right, next chapter. Can thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou let it down? Can you do that? That's what God said, man, come on. You want to talk all this trash? Can you do this? Can you put a hook into his nose, a boy's jaw through with a horn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Will thou make him for a servant forever? But I play with him as with a bird, or with I bind him for thy maidens. Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? And God began to just go on and on and on, man. And it was to the point where he began to talk to Job, and Job has to come to a conclusion. And this is what we need to do tonight. We got to come to a conclusion. Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou can do everything. Look what Job told God in the 42nd chapter of of Job. He said, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou can do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. See, that's what we have been in today. We've been uttering a lot of things in our fractured view that we know not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, which means that wherefore I hate myself and repent in dust and ashes. How many get to the point where you say, God, hey, I want to read this in the Amplified Version, if you just give me a second. Then Job answered the Lord and said, this is the Amplified Version. He said, I know that you can do all things, and that no thought or purpose of yours can be restrained. You said to me, who is this darkened? Who is this that darkens and obscures counsel by words without knowledge? Therefore, I now see I have rashly uttered that which I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, please, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct and answer me. I had heard of you only by the hearing of the ear, but now my spiritual eye sees you. Therefore, I retract my words and hate myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. How many question God in darkness counsel? How many can be honest with yourself and say that at one point in time, I've been angry with God because he didn't move the way I thought he was going to move, or he didn't move the way I wanted him to move, or I question his motives. I question the way he does things. That's me. I've been angry with God before. I'm honest with you. I've been at a point where it was my wrongdoing got me in a position, and God didn't move in my wrongdoing. So I was angry and upset with God. And sometimes it was just a deal didn't close, and I thought it was going to close, and I got angry and upset with God. Sometimes God said, no, if I let you get this, you'll never come home. If I let you get up, you'll never return, and you'll be so far led astray, or you'll be so far gone. And sometimes things happen, and you're like, man, you'd be so displeased, but like Joe said, my spiritual eye sees you. My spiritual eye has now been open, and I see the plan that you have. I see the purpose that you have designed, that you have purpose and plan for my life when I felt like I should have been doing something else, when I felt like I should have been at another place. And here's the kicker, ladies and gentlemen. We realize now that we do not have all of the answers. Right? But why is the top got off, but now we realize not only do we not have all the answers, but oftentimes we don't even know the questions to ask, the right questions to ask. How do you have the answers when you don't even know the questions to ask? And that's what God is doing. He's breaking us down, man. And sometimes it's like he's bringing down like a 12-gauge shotgun, but hey, he is a lawyer. Word to God. Let's go to Romans 11 right quick. We're going to bring this all home real quick. And I'm going to start probably about in it's on the 10th verse. I want to go a little bit further, man. And by grace, that's 6 verses. If by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. We look at being saved, and we look at the power of grace and God's favor. And now we say we have been saved through grace. Not by works, but by faith through grace, right? We look at how we receive salvation, and we look at how, you know, Islam, they got the law, and they deal with it. You look at the Indians and Africans, they got spiritualism, but here we go. we're kingdom people. We're kingdom people. I don't want to use the word Christianity because I don't call myself a Christian. If I offend you, then I apologize, but that's not who I am. I'm a kingdom citizen. And so being a kingdom citizen, and I've been saved through grace. It says, by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So what then Israel have not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election have obtained it, and the rest are blinded. So you have been make your calling and election sure who you are. I'm elected as a kingdom citizen, and he said through that he has given us power to become sons, sons of light, not sons of darkness. And I'm at a point now where I'm not a servant, but I'm a son. All right, according as it is written, God have given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David said, let that table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. So we're looking at Job said, I hear and now my spiritual eyes have allowed me to see. And I told you we've been having fractured eyes and, you know, we hear certain things. We've been having blockers in our ears so we don't really hear the voice of God. We don't hear, you know, we have not been yielding to the Holy Spirit, but we've been into a different spirit, an Antichrist spirit. And so that's what has happened in our lives. And but God said, now, I said, then have they stumbled that they should fall. God forbid, but rather through that all salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, to follow them be the riches of the world and the dimension of them, the riches of the Gentiles. How much more their fullness? So we're looking at that. That we've been blinded to such a point that God uses us to be blinded to such a point that when he opens up our eyes and he can bring somebody else in. I can tell you, we go through to get through. And then I can share my testimony. I can share my test, which is my testimony. I can share my mess, which has become my message. See, he allowed me to be deceived for such a time, you know, and then when I come out of the deception and he brings me into from darkness to light, like he told you, he said, I separated the light from the darkness. Go back to Genesis, the first chapter, and begin to just dissect it. And then come back to these other chapters we're going through and watch how God shows himself mightily on your behalf. For I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And then he said, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and I save some of them. See, we just talked about how I can evangelize or something. He said, even reproducing seed after your own kind. What kind are you? Are you a fruit of righteousness or a fruit of unrighteousness? What are you reproducing? What are you doing when you go out every day and you begin to share your conversation? Is it gossip? Is it upbuilding? Is it edifying or is it tearing down? You know, begin to ask yourself these questions, and that's where I'm at now. I'm like, if my words don't edify, if my words not building up, then I'm wasting my words. But I got to see myself the way God sees me so I can see you the way God sees you. Because if I see myself as nothing, or if I see myself as less than, like I said on Juice, on Tupac, on the movie Juice, it was like, you know, I ain't nothing. I ain't going to never be nothing. When I continue to see you as nothing, then that's the end of it. That's why you can have somebody can kill somebody over stepping on their shoes because they got more value in their shoes than they see in you. You see what? You know, because that's what I see you as less than instead of greater than. He said, he that is least of these are greater amongst you. But see, when I don't see you with no value, then guess what? You're just like a roach, and I just step on you and kill you. So that's where we are right now. He said, thou wilt say then the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but still, for if God spare not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fail. That's your forefathers. And you know what I mean? Because they'll tell you whatever, but we know that the children that were chosen vessels in Ethiopia. I mean, they were people of color. And I don't care what they say. I don't care who's offended by it. And it's the white Jesus. And they the white out. I mean, it's just what it is. I always tell everybody, and I ain't going to go too deep into that because I don't want to offend anybody tonight, but know who you are, know who you are, know where you come from. And so they said, 23rd verse, and they also thereby not still in unbelief shall be grafted there, for God is able to graft them in again. I want to go down a little bit further. to the 27th. I said, for this is my covenant to them when I shall take away their sins. At the sign of the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I look at that. I look at those that have been saved and sanctified, and I tell them, those that have lost their way, we got a lot of ministers. We got a lot of preachers and pastors. We got a lot of apostles that have lost their way, have surrendered themselves to the world, to worldly desire. They have been torn by what the world is like, torn by what the world has to offer, and have surrendered, you know, the gospel, surrendered themselves. So we got a lot of preachers now that won't preach the gospel, won't preach about sin, won't preach about repentance, won't preach about salvation and deliverance, won't preach about these things that Christ preached about in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 and 6. Won't do our best out of the meek and best out of those that, you know, won't begin to give the gospel, won't preach even kingdom. You know, in theology school, they don't even have a lesson about the kingdom. Why? Because it messes with their hope, and it's not God. But we're going to pray for those tonight. That are ministers, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists that have been led astray, but allowed themselves to be led astray. Because gifts and calling, we got prophets that have the prophetic anointings on their lives. We have evangelists that have anointings on their lives. We have pastors and apostles that are anointed, but have, you know, some are even have fornicating, some are smoking crack, you know, some are doing a lot of different things. Even the leaders that have been anointed. He said, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye and times have not believed God, they have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now believe that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. See, now listen, this is what I'm trying to tell you. We got to give this gift away. You got mercy that you've obtained. So now let's share this mercy with others that don't know the Lord as their Lord and personal Savior. Take the blinders off. And begin to see yourself as God sees you, and begin to see them as vessels of grace and vessels of mercy that are in need to obtain mercy of God. For God have concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. On the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Here we go with questioning God. That's why I said, I'm sitting on now. Watch this. He said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who have known the mind of the Lord, or who have been his counselor, who have first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. So let's ask, who got the mind of God? Who counseled God? God said, let us make man in our own image. Who was us? Were you there? Was he talking to you? When God said, let's make man our own image, when God sat down in Genesis 1, we talk about, and God said, let there be light. And God began to look at how the earth was void and without form, and God said, let me do something about this earth. And he began to just break things down from Genesis 1, day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6. Where were you then? Did you counsel God in any of those things? Did you have his mind at that time? No, that's why since we went down when he took the snow and said, you are used for war. And you come no further. Or he tell the storm or the thunder when the roar or where it belongs. We didn't counsel God in any of those things. So I'm setting up now. And I'm ending with this. I was in the desert with my son, school in Canada, right? In California, I mean, forgive me, I'm tripping. I don't know why I got this season. I got my season mixed up. So it was in California. I want to look at this 19th verse, and guess what God said? And I want you to know this, when you take these blinders off your eyes, when you come to the point where Lord Joseph, I put my hand over my mouth, I spoke too much, I ain't saying nothing else, I'm setting up now. God said, remember you're not the former things, not consider the things of old. See, when I was in that desert, man, it was a dry place, man. It was a weary place. But I was like, man, take it because I want people to see this big area of nothing. This big area of nothing. And sometimes you can look at your life and you're like, I'm in a big area of nothing. Nothing is going on. Nothing is going right. Nothing is going how I planned. Nothing is going how I saw it. Nothing is going how I visualized it. Nothing is going with my vision, my mission. Nothing is lining itself up. I'm just in a big space, a big area of nothing. God said in the 19th verse, said, behold, I'm going to go to the 18th verse, said, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Again, I'm going to do it in the Amplified, and I'm going to be out of your way. Behold, I will do a new thing. How many ready for God to do a new thing? How many ready for God to do a new thing? He said, do not remember the former things or ponder the things of the past. I don't worry about what has already taken place. I had to be delivered from the past. Because my past, I'm like, man, if only I would have done this or I'd done that. It's too late for that. Ain't nothing you can do to change that. I can't go back 5-6 years and change something. I can't, I mean, all I got to do is say, okay, God, I repent of what I've done wrong, and I have no regrets. Because I can't change it. Nothing I can do, no worrying I can do about it can alter it at all. So I said, do not remember the former things or ponder the things of the past. So I need you to, first of all, I need you to say goodbye to the past. You need to have a funeral for the past. So how do I say goodbye to yesterday? By saying goodbye. I say goodbye. And I'm moving forward. God said in the 19th verse, listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even put a road in the wilderness. And we're looking at the desert. It was roads that got the people to their houses at the top of the mountain in that desert. I'm like, how'd they get there? God would say, I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, streams in the desert, streams in the desert. I don't know about you all, but I'm ready for the new thing. I'm ready for my new thing. I'm ready for God to put some roads in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name, Father. We glorify your name. We thank you, God, for this is the day that you have made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it, God. God, we know that we've seen things in our own fractured eyes, and we viewed you, God, with our own fractured view. But God, we see you now. It's who you are. Thank you for opening up our eyes, God, that we can see. Open up our ears, Father, that we can hear. And God, our hearts, that we can understand. Father, we ask it right now, God, that you give us the wisdom and the grace to put our hands over our mouths and say, I'm shutting up now, Lord. I'm no longer contending with you. I'm no longer wanting to question your methods or your will and your purpose and your plan. And I want to line up with the purpose and the plan, God, that you have orchestrated for my life, those that are around me, and to fulfill that, what you have desired for me to fulfill. I come to a place of surrender where my heart has been changed. Well, you said, do not be conformed to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Father, renew my mind now. And God, give me a heart for those, God, that are lost, those that don't know you as a Lord and personal Savior. Don't allow me to turn up my nose, God, or go to a self-righteous mode or a judgment because I feel that I've got it. Because, God, easily I could have been in that same place. Easily I could be homeless. Easily, God, I could be lost. Easily, God, I could still be in the streets selling drugs. Easily, God, I could be holding a gun, God, wanting to go and rob and kill, God. Easily, God, I could resort to gang, God. But easily I could be in prison, God, my brother's roommate. But, God, you changed these things. And there's instances in my life that all this could have happened. All this could have transpired. I could have been in my grave with God, but you spared me. All this could have happened. So what makes me so that I'm greater than the next? I'm nobody. I'm somebody in you because you made me you. Because you, now that I surrender to God, you, I live, I move, I have my being because you are inside of me. And, God, I can share that with someone else that has been fractured. I can share that with someone else that has been broken. So, God, I give you honor, God, tonight. I give you glory, and I give you praise. In your son Jesus' name we pray. So it is. If anybody, anyone want to add to it, take away, you want to share, you want to build on, let somebody know, get us to God. We also do it by pressing 1. You can be recognized. And please, Sasha, so your line is open, my brother.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to say I thank God for this word that came out tonight, because it was a timely word. It was a word that I needed to hear, and I'm sitting here thinking, as you were speaking tonight, how I've kind of been trapped. And what I mean by that is, you know, all these feelings, being angered. You know, as you know, I just lost my mom, and I've been under such an attack from the enemy, and I have to admit, I have been angered. I've been very angry, and I've just been looking for reasons to go the other way. You know. I've been struggling because of those very things of feelings of, you know, how could this have happened to my mom when she was such a woman of God and such a warrior of God for as long as I can remember. You know, my mom never smoked, never drank, never partied. You know, she's been a child of God, a servant of God for as long as I can remember.
Okay.
And I've been struggling so hard because, you know, I think about, as you're saying, time, you know, time being wasted, not knowing who you are, where you belong, who you belong to. My mom used to say that I was a freak. And that, you know, I need to take my place in the pool. And I used to always joke with her and tell her that I'm learning the ways of the world, so when I get up in the pool pit, I know what I'm talking about. Because that's how you win souls. You have to be able to identify, and people have to be able to identify with what you're saying in order to get to that next place.
Okay.
And my mom passed before I got to that. And I struggle now with my timing, where I was supposed to be and why I wasn't there. And it's like you say, sometimes you look for reasons not to be saved and to go the opposite direction because of, like you said, not knowing your place. And as angry as I've been, I still had a presence of mind not to throw the towel in while I struggled. Today, I was riding down the highway, and I'm up here in upstate New York. And I was on my way to my first drop for in the morning. I have an appointment at 3 a.m. And when I got off the bridge, off the toll road, I was coming across this bridge, and I saw this state trooper. And I don't know if he was harassing this homeless guy pushing the shopping cart with all of his belongings on the shopping cart. And I just thought to myself, like, man, you know, he ain't got nothing better to do but to harass this guy. And I just, you know, I felt some type of way, but I kept on. And where I was coming to was like maybe a mile and a half away from where I saw this officer with this homeless guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing that our path would cross in just a few minutes later, you know. So I get here and I back in and I park, because I'm here for the night and to my appointment. So I get out the truck, and I was hungry. I grabbed a $10 bill out my little change jar, and I grabbed my wallet. And I walked across the street to McDonald's. And as I'm walking up to McDonald's, and I generally don't eat that stuff, but I just needed something to put on my stomach so I could take my medicine. I walks over to McDonald's, and this guy was, this homeless, the same guy, was walking up to McDonald's, and he pushed his cart up to the curb like he was parking his car. And he went into McDonald's right before me, and I went in, and I don't know what transpired before I got in there because I got a phone call. So when I came in, he was coming out. And I looked at him and proceeded to go in and make my little order, and I came out. And I wind up not being able to spend the $10 bill because my bill came up to $11 and some change, and that's all the cash I had on me. So I swiped my card. So I still had the $10 bill in my pocket. And as I'm walking out, for some reason or another, I felt like I wanted a donut. So I went down to Dunkin' Donuts, and there this guy is sitting. And I don't know if he's drinking water, if he's drinking coffee, or what he's doing, but he's sitting there like he's just taking a breather, like he's just sitting there with the world on his mind. And I walked in there, and I placed my order in there, and I turned around, and I looked at him again. I came out, and I walked past his little basket, you know, a little shopping cart basket, you know, and it's filled with all this stuff. And I looked, and I see he got a pet rabbit in a cage and all this. And I walked past that basket, and something just said to me, turn around and go back in there and bless that man with what you have in your pocket. And I thank God that I was obedient to that voice. And I walked in there, and I just placed the money on the table. I didn't say anything. I just placed the money on the table. And he looked up at me like he was looking at Jesus. And he said, God bless you. And I walked out. And I just thank God that in the time that I'm struggling, that I was still obedient enough to hear his voice and to do what he simply said.
My God.
And I just ask that everybody under the sound of my voice just pray for me, please. Because I don't want to be lost and I don't want to give up. I want to know who I am and where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be doing. So please pray for me. And that's all I had to say.
And first of all, I want to tell you know we love you over here, brother. And then on that note, we're going to pray. And Father, we come to you, God, for hear the cry of your son. God, you heard his petition being made known. Father, and we know your mind, God. We don't know your mind, and we're not looking at your mind anymore. We're not questioning who you are, God. We're not questioning what you've done, what you're doing, God. But you said, let your request be made known. Let your petition be made known. And God, this petition be made known. And God, listen, we pray for the ounce of you, God. Whatever is inside of the morsel of you that's inside of him to be preserved, God. To be preserved and be kept. For that time, God, that you allow him to flourish, God. You say one plant, another water, but you give the increase, God. That has already been seeds planted, God. You said seeds at its own time to bring forth fruit. We command the fruit to come forth, God, the fruits of righteousness, God, the fruits of the Spirit to come forth like never before, God. We command, God, vision, God, to come forth like never before, God. We command, God, the placement, God, to come forth now, God, that he no longer sees himself as a servant, but God, as a son, God. He's your son, he's your child, and you've given him the power to become a son. So as a son, God, of righteousness, God, as a son, God, of the day, God, and not of night, God, son of light and not darkness, Father, that will spring forth. You said, I'm doing a new thing. Shall you not see it? It shall spring forth now. God, we command it to spring forth speedily now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, God. And those on the sound of my voice, God, those others, God, that have said, I need to find my place in you, God. I need to be in you, God. I'm ready to step up, God. That everyone on the sound of my voice, that now thing, that new thing that is coming now, now it shall spring forth. Now it shall spring forth. Now. We command to come forth now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Father. We thank you, Lord God, tonight, God. We praise you tonight, God. We worship you and we honor you. Strengthen him, God, even the more so, God. And we thank you for giving him the ear to hear the voice of the Lord, God. And, God, even with us, God, when we walk across those, I often tell them all the time, I'll feed you. But how about if I take them in and feed them and I begin to evangelize to them and witness to them and pour out your love, God? I do it all the time. God, I'd rather see God, but now let's see, not only physically, but let's begin to see spiritually. God, we repent for the times that we missed it, God, the times that we've been in ourselves. In Son Jesus' name, we pray for our brother, God. We pray for his strength. In Jesus' name. And so it is. Anybody else has anything they want to add to or take away from tonight? Want to share? The Lord has led you in any kind of way. If the Lord's been good to you, if he's done anything for you, you got a testimony, you got a praise report. If God is doing anything in your life, has he moved you in any way? Or anybody that just want to say, Lord, I'm setting up now. I'm putting my hand over my mouth, and I set up now. Press one, I can recognize you. If not, the next voice you'll be hearing will be none other than my queen, even as Maria Flint, giving us the benediction. All right. Oh. 9971, your mic is open. Your line is open. What is it? Your phone number is 9971. Your line is open. Your number is 770-309-9971. To be present one, to speak, your line is open. If you did no accident. We understand. All right, nonetheless, the next one should be handed me none other than my best friend, my girlfriend. We just celebrated 15 years of marriage on Tuesday, y'all. 15 years of blissful marriage. And guess what? It ain't been, we had our ups and our downs, our rocky road, but God has brought us through, and we can celebrate 15 years, and I still love her more and more this day. She's my friend. She's laughing now, but that's my girlfriend, man. My best friend, my wife, my queen. Not the first lady, because she's the only lady. She's my queen. She was Maria Flynn. She was worse. Benediction.
Well, praise God. I'm so glad to know that after 15 years, I'm still his girlfriend. So praise God, because he's surely still my boyfriend. So I praise God for him, and I thank God for that word. I ask God to pour back into him more and more. He's poured out to us tonight, excuse me, and I just thank God for him. I truly thank God for him. 15 years, I must say that after 15 years is just as good today as it was from day one. So I praise God for what God put together, and when God puts it together, you know. So I thank God. Excuse me. So on tonight, if no one else has anything else to say, we will benedict. We just thank God for this night, this Thursday night, until next Thursday night. We ask that everyone is protected, Lord God. Keep them with the blood of Jesus covering them, each and every one of them. Anyone that's going through an illness, God, we thank you right now for the healing. Anyone that's feeling depressed or sad, we thank you right now for just giving them the strength to go through, Lord God. Those that are in need of employment, Lord God, we thank you for blessing them with employment, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, those that need a shoulder or someone to talk to, Lord. We thank you right now because you are the listener, Lord God. And we praise God for you. So, Lord God, we ask that right now that you keep us protected and covered, Lord God. Lord, I ask for a shield and direction, Lord. Show us where to go this week, Lord God, and what to say and who to talk to. And, God, just like our brother was on the phone, God, he blessed someone. Give us someone to bless. Let us be a blessing to bless someone, Lord God. And we thank you right now, and we will do it obediently and not selfishly and not so that someone can see, oh, this is what I did. Let us do it out of your will, God. And we thank you for all these things. We ask that you keep our children and those that have grandchildren protected, our family members, Lord God, mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, sons and daughters, nieces and nephews, cousins, God. Protect our family members everywhere, Lord God, our friends, our associates, Lord. And we thank you for it right now. God, even as we're on the highways going to and fro, we ask that you keep our cars protected, Lord God, and don't let us cause witness of being any type of accidents. And we thank you for all these things. You are our God. We thank you. We serve you. We love you. for this house, we will be praising the Lord, and I hope that each and every one of your houses will be praising the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Have a blessed night. Excuse me. And we... Don't we love
you? She come and tell y'all we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And also, I want to, I'm going to send out the text message for email addresses, because we're going to also send out weekly Bible studies to those that don't want the Bible study. I got the numbers for those that are here. We'll be sending out text messages for your email addresses. But we love you. Have a blessed night. Let God continue to cover you, keep you in your dream sleep, keep your house, your neighborhoods, everyone, rent home in danger. No house will have any home invasions, no fires, nothing like that. We just begin to thank God for keeping you with the keeping anointing, because He is a keeper. We give you honor, God. We give you glory. We give you praise. In your Son, Jesus Christ, most holy and righteous name, we pray. Good night. We love you. Nothing you can do about it. So it is.
Yeah.